Councilor Dent, and on the phone number, Councilor Sarah Hawksley. Also present, we have CEO Chris Patchett, Mr. Bronwyn Dew, acting deputy CEO, and Bruce Brennan, our manager of works and services. We have visitors here too, right, we have Mr.
John Robertson?
John Robertson, so thank you, John. And Mr. Brown. Apologies are from Councilor Sexton and Councilor Valentine are unavailable. Yes, before we go further now, do we have a motion that we accept Councilor Hawksley here attending the meeting by phone? Councilor Dent, Second Councilor Harris, and motion to all agree, motion carried. Now we move on to public question time.
Okay, we've got the tape running.
We are recording. I'll just run through for benefit of everybody here, but public questions are limited to 2 minutes per member, limited to 2 questions per member. Public questions are available, limited to 15 minutes. Questions are to be directed to myself, presiding officer. Should be asked in a polite faith, politely in good faith and in a frame such a way as not to reflect adversely or defamatory on a particular elected member or a Shire employee. Questions and any responses will be summarised and included in the minutes from this meeting. Public question time should be used as a means to obtain information that would not normally be available from other sources within the Shire. And finally, no person, as per standing orders, no person is to use electronic, visual or vocal recording devices or instruments to record the proceedings of the council meeting without written approval of the commission for the council. So, please abide by that. Next up is Mr. Robertson, you got something, Tom?
Yes, my first question, I've got a couple of questions, and I'm sure we can extend the question on over the time. First of all, the council meetings, why was this one changed a week from last week? They're usually on a Wednesday, and now we've changed, and so I'd like to know the reason why it was changed.
Okay, so council meetings changed because we had an unavailability of councillors, Shire President was consulting with at the time, and we made that publicly available in the news.
There wasn't enough councillors.
Yep.
And we had shortage of staff.
I wasn't aware that there wasn't enough councillors. Where was that put on?
Initially, it was put on Facebook, it's put on the website.
But there wasn't enough councillors. Okay.
And staff.
Yeah. Okay. Because we had another one 3 months earlier that was changed as well during the last old school holidays. Yeah. During the last old school holidays, it was put back another week. Alright. And then I noticed also that now we're going to change the third one in 6 months. So the thing of being regular council meetings, better got myself, organised myself to go, and then, you know, it all gets changed. And looking at what we've got today, and the last couple of times I've come here, we've been missing a couple of councillors and everything else, so the governance doesn't really look that good to me. That's my personal opinion, because I cannot remember a time where we've had 3 meetings change within 6 months. It's really poor governance on behalf of everyone who doesn't attend. Especially, I can understand it once every now and again, but I think that we did an audit on how many people and the amount of time they don't turn up. It's really not acceptable.
Okay, I'll take that point. The only thing is, we'll let you know now, we'll remove the September meeting forward a couple of days because it clashes with the
week.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't yet, because I'm looking at the agenda.
Sorry?
You haven't done it yet.
It's probably, that must have gone to go through the council meetings today.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm getting at. I mean, for a 3-hour council meeting, well, it generally takes about 3 hours. Pick me up if I'm wrong. But if you can't do your governance between now and then on a Wednesday, and the meeting starts on the, I mean, that's, what's the next one to do with governance? You know, I mean, it's just crazy stuff. It's three comms already in 6 months.
There are operational reasons for that, and the Act permits the council to do it. So that's all we can say.
Well, I'll be looking into that, because I don't know all about that. Another question I'd like to ask is, I think I've been through this one before, with Councillor Colville, Harris, Ballantyne and Sexton, all their emails come to ballantynewa.gov.au. Is that totally confidential?
Yes, it is.
I mean, but do you get to vet it, Chris?
No, I have no access to
any of those emails. You don't look at any of the stuff there?
I don't have any access to any of those emails.
Okay, well, that's good. We've had this problem before where we had to go to the local government, because the CEO was checking what was going on with other people's emails. I don't know if anyone was actually on the council back then. But yeah, I just want to check that, because I see Councillor Dean and Hawkley have got their own personal emails, which I think is a good thing. Keeps it out of the loop.
They're also record-keeping requirements. The reason why councils have councillor emails is that they require... There are record-keeping obligations and requirements on the councillors that any correspondence is an official record.
Oh, yes, okay.
So that's why they have those. Councillor Hawksley and Councillor Dent haven't had their systems set up yet to have the Kimballan emails, but that is happening.
Because in the past, the CEO was overprepared.
The CEO has no access to any staff.
We went to the local government this week.
Yeah. No, I've got to dispute that, John. I'm sorry. But back where you were saying that the CEO was able to look into, and I know the accusations were made several years ago, it just wasn't right. He had no access to that councillor's email. That
Councillor Howard said that that she did not receive the email.
She may have not have received an email, but that's not because the CEO was accessing it. She had her own email, had passwords and things like that, which none of the staff had any access to. So, and if we went to our IT provider and asked for access, we would have been denied.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know that I took that case up, remember that?
Yeah.
Because there was some holes in it. But now I'm just double checking that one, make sure that that's all above board.
Okay.
Now, just for another moment to do that. Now, it's been 19 months since I first came here to ask about the short stay. It still has not been resolved. I've made inquiries into the planning department and various other government departments, and they sent me this stuff, some conversations, and they pointed out to me, and I've got the thing here, it can take up to 90 days for the local government to determine a development approval, depending on the public advertising, that's advertising the changing in planning, etc., etc., and whatever else. They've also told me, and I've seen it written here written down, that they would provide all the extra staff and everything to get it done within that time. No, that's what's in this. All right. So,
who's
90
that
days.
Who's that from?
Pardon?
Who's that from?
That's from the Department of Planning.
Okay, yeah.
Well, that's their stuff, 90 days. It can take up to 90 days depending on the advertising. Mm-hmm. Well, I've worked it out that we've actually been, I've been on these for 570 days.
Yeah.
I can.
It has not been with us for 570 days, John.
John, you and I had a conversation.
I had come here in December,
mm-hmm,
19 months ago, Adrian. The paper trail will tell you, and the minutes will tell you, that I came here asking about the policy of setting up a short stay accommodation.
Yes.
Right, and then it took about 8 months to even act on anything. And I've been here before and have said that the government has sent out all the stuff for every local government in Western Australia. That's on the tape.
Okay, stop there. The government sent everything out to us, but we then had to submit it all back into planning, and that's where the long...
But this is what the planning's telling me.
Yeah, that's what I told you. We are going to...
Sorry, if I can just interject.
Yeah.
We had a conversation on the phone about 2 months ago, where I told you that that was all gone through, the planning policy and everything gone through, and that the forms are ready for you to come in and get, so you can put in your application.
You did not. You were too implicit. You were too implicit because you did not say anything. You have not sent me any information. You rang me up and said, oh, it's all going to be finished. It's all going to be done by the end of the month, which is about a week.
And it has been, and you said you had been to get the forms.
The way
it's not, the forms are not. I did not.
I'm sure, John, you did.
Right.
I did not, mate.
John, all right, cut me.
All right, okay.
You can pop in a seat.
You can pop in a seat at any time. You've probably been there already.
You have not done one thing about it. I sent you an email as well, right, which you have got, because it's been sent to you, about what do I do next, etc., etc. Will it have to be advertised for another 3 weeks? All this sort of stuff.
Our conversation was around what you had to do because we were talking about the signage.
But I use a paper trail.
Yes.
A verbal thing. You know, you can say whatever you like, but I've used a paper trail and I sent you the email, and I've already been over here before about the lack of communication with you and how you don't respond to emails. And I've heard it from other people around town as well. This is a fact. You know, like, it's just not good enough. And you didn't bother to get back to me. You know, your planning thing for the short stay thing. I mean, the local government works all that stuff out. You could have easily done that. You could have even sent that to me. You didn't have any bother to send it to me.
John, as I said, we had a conversation, your recollection differs to mine, and you were going to come up to the office to get the phone.
I emailed you.
It's all ready to go, mate.
I emailed you, and you did not respond. That's a fact. Right? All this verbal stuff, you want to start leaving a paper trail so that there's no disagreement between you. You know, at this stage, right, where are we with it? Are we still going to do this in 21 days up now?
Yeah, it's all right. It's over 2 hours. It happened 2 minutes ago. So you can come in any time you like. You're already going to have an application,
so it'll be helpful if you communicate.
John, it's there waiting to go. It's there ready to go. John, take
it away. Okay, good. Communication. That's it. Send it in hard copy. No problem, you know. That's what your CEO is saying.
Mm.
Is there any evidence to say what he's saying? That's what I'm saying. I put one on paper trail. There's no evidence.
Right, Mark, you see what you're saying. Anything else?
So, anyway, I've done all my fire plans. I've been in contact with them. I've had the smoke alarms done. I've had everything up and running. I've got no reply from the Shire. Yes, there is something else as well. I'm interested to see that there's been $6,600 in legal fees gone out from Cloud Lawyers, which I suspect is tied up with a dog fight. Now, this thing's been to court. I've heard that there's adverse findings, and I would like the President to explain what has gone on there, how much money it cost, what was the outcome of that case. Because it hasn't hit the... It's not in any of the paper, it hasn't been the President's pen, there's no sign of it in the minutes, etc., etc. So this is obviously, I'm under the belief that it happened about 4 months ago. there's a few people who mentioned it to me around town, and I said, I'll ask on their behalf, because by all the boards, we have been found that we shouldn't have brought the case, so if you could explain what the outcome of that case is.
There's a complaint of a dog attack, and oh, not a dog, dog was running loose, and there was a dog fight, and we got the shy of a complaint about it, the length of the people complained, and they said this dog did this and this dog did that, and there's a dog fight. The rangers investigated, the police investigated, the rangers did, and the owners were told that had the dog was out of control, and they were going to be charged with, under the Dog Act, of not keeping the dog in control. This is my words, not legal paraphrase. That was produced. They were issued a fine, it went to the magistrate. The magistrate looked at it. She heard our evidence. She also heard some evidence from the owners of the dog. And in her words, she could not discount their evidence. So there was conflict on these two stories that they argued. The magistrate could not discount that evidence, but there was some doubt about it. It was a plausible excuse they gave to the dog. May not have been attacked, but may, she could not really make a clear decision either way, so which view was which dog was in the wrong. So she acquitted the charge of letting the dog out of control. And so that's the case. We had a dog out of control, we charged them, and we've got the magistrate. Magistrate, yeah, I'm not too sure about this one, and dismissed the case. And then we rewarded the plaintiff, not the plaintiff, the defendant, we rewarded the cost of their legal costs came back to the shire, so we had to pay the legal costs.
So obviously she was found that she wasn't guilty.
No, not she wasn't found not guilty.
So the magistrate is a criminal matter, so it's hard for us to comment too much on it. The magistrate found that there was reasonable doubt that the attack occurred where the evidence that was presented said. On that basis, she found the owner of the other dog not guilty on the charge. It's how the justice system
works. Okay, well, why would we charge, led to believe it's about $11,000?
Yeah, led to believe correctly.
That's the way it works. We've got another $6,000. So, did the council vote on taking this?
No, the council doesn't vote things like that. The dog laws are set out, and then the prescribed penalties, the regulations are all set out in our local dog laws, by the council to pass those laws. The CEO is then charged with administering those laws.
Delegated authority.
He's a delegated authority.
That's what I'm getting, okay.
And if he gets information back, if something has to happen, he doesn't come running back to council, oh, can I do this, can I do that? He's got the laws, he's got the delegation, and he makes that decision. The decision was made to charge the dog. As I said, the magistrate didn't go that way, she saw it was some doubt, it wasn't a conclusion of her mind, so the charge was dismissed.
But
that's a standard.
This is the court.
We're coming. Standard court process.
We don't issue fines, it's issued through the court. Had the court, the case been pressed, the owner of the dog would have copped our legal fees. That's how if you lose it, you pay costs, you pay court costs. Because it was dismissed, the costs were awarded back to us. We had to pay their fees, we're paying our own fees. So we copped a bill of $11,700 to cover their fees, plus our own costs for our own legal advice.
So there was the evidence
was strong, it was also
presented. There was enough doubt in the magistrate's mind that she couldn't find that it was the case as our defence, as our prosecution case was argued.
All types of things, and cast out in the magistrate's mind, she said, well, I'm not really sure which way here, so we'll do a side caution, and let the guilty party go through.
Yes. that was taken, you let the building partner go through?
No, that's...
It is question time, not statement time. You've had a pretty good go. I think you had questions.
I'll leave it at what I've said so far.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will be over to pick out the forms. I'd just like to say that, you know, a bit more communication from Chris. I've been over here before about it. You know, and we've got, I'm going to email you. I expect to get a reply.
That's fine.
You know, I don't know what's going on here. We've got no councillors there. We've got just unbelievable. Changing the dates all the time. I mean, the depth of management is looking pretty flimsy.
You're making offensive statements now, John. I'm sorry, that's not fair. That's not fair.
We're told to just a secret.
We obviously differ on the contents of our phone conversation and how that was interpreted, but
well,
I took that to be what you were saying.
Sending stuff in emails, paper trail. You know, otherwise it's just your word against
my word. And that's exactly right. My word is that what I heard is that you were going to come up to the office and see it. I offered to send it to your job form top. You were going to come up to the office. So that's my interpretation.
That's your interpretation, my friend. I would have heard that. I would have done something about it.
Okay.
Not scared
to. Mr. Brown, I'm saying you
are. Job. I've got one thing to say about this council, and I've sat here and listened to this. All right?
Do you have a question?
I do.
All right.
But I want to say one thing first of all you councillors that sit here. You're here because the ratepayers put you here, not because you voted here or anything else. They put you here. Look after them. You sit there and you nod your heads.
Do you have any questions, Ryan? I don't want to be let you know.
Yeah. All right.
Do I have a question, please?
So you're unreproachable. You can't reproach you. So I'm not going to pay you. I'm saying this is part of my interpretation of how I see things from the outside. So you're beyond reproach. You can't have a say.
You
can. Well, you've just told this gentleman exactly that.
When did we say that? No one was speaking.
If you can't remember that long ago, you should be sitting in that chair. Sorry.
So what's your point?
The one thing I've got to say today to this council, I came into the Shire office the other day and requested something that I'm entitled to.
Yes.
Audio copy of the minutes. In your own laws, it states that the Shire has to supply it at no cost to me. What was I asked to do, Chris?
You said that you didn't have access to the emails. You were told that you could get off the website.
I don't have access to the website.
The file was too big for an email, so that you could supply a USB drive, we could put them on there for you.
Did you not hear me just now? You didn't hear me, obviously. It's at no cost to me. That has to be, by law, supplied to me. Have a read. Yes, it does. It states it in the laws.
We had this conversation the other day, Kevin.
And you threatened me.
I don't think I did.
Yes, you did.
What did I say?
You threatened me with a restraining order, correct?
I'm correct.
So you weren't there either?
No, I was out the back.
You were...
I didn't hear all your conversation.
But you were there.
I was in the office.
Yes, yeah. And you came out the front when he came out the front and made the threat as I got in my head.
That's an absolute lie. I did not do anything of the sort.
Fish, you did.
I did not.
You threatened me with a restraining order because I rang as president.
I did not.
Didn't I, Adrian?
You rang me, yeah.
And did I say that?
That doesn't mean it happened.
It did happen.
It did not happen, Kevin. That's an outright lie.
You
can sit there and lie all you like.
I'm not lying to you.
Yes, you are.
It's fine.
Do you have a question? If not,
I want to know why I can't come into your office any time I like without the intimidation and threats.
I want to know why you came in and said that you were recording a conversation covertly without telling
me. I was not allowed in that front office
to record. Surveillance Act forbids you from doing that.
So you can do it, but we can't.
I haven't recorded you.
Oh, so there's not cameras in that front office?
No, there's not cameras in
the office. Are you sure about that? You've got to go and have a look.
There's no camera inside the office.
I've seen one.
Yeah.
So you can record us.
It's not allowed to record you.
Stress of hearing this is killing me.
Yeah.
Front door, we're talking about the front door.
That office doesn't belong to you, Chris.
No, I said it did.
That's the people's office. That belongs to every ratepayer in Australia.
And it will.
Because every ratepayer puts their money to it. Every ratepayer is entitled to be in that building when they choose on opening hours or opening times.
Do you have a question? If not, I'm going to close the session now. I don't consider it to be lectured to.
You don't want to be reapproached.
No, I don't want to be.
You don't want your CEO to be reapproached at all.
You can meet,
for his conduct.
You can make an appointment, meet in the office.
I wouldn't spend my time in his office, Adrian, because that's, he would find a way of not telling you the truth. All right? This is going to take.
I, this stage, I'll close the meeting and ask you to leave.
I'm not leaving. This is a public meeting, is it not?
The meeting, as of now, is suspended.
Suspended.
Until we reopen.
This is not.